So tort claims like assault against individuals, of course, survive against the individual supervisor, the individual bad actor. The problem there, from the plaintiff's perspective, and why you don't see these too frequently, is that you really don't have deep pockets, generally, for an individual supervisor, unless it's like the company owner, somebody like that. And, you know, chances are the claims are not insured, right? An insurance company's going to say, look, this is an intentional act. This is not covered by our policy. So there really is no way to kind of, you know, see the end for collections for a plaintiff's attorney when you're looking at these individual claims. The handful of times when you'll see them against low-level supervisors, candidly, you may be seeing them to plead, a state court tort that will blow up diversity and keep a case in state court. The first is torts against individuals. The second is torts against the employer. And those tort claims attach to employers in some circumstances of sexual assaults perpetrated by vice principals under the relatively new Steak and Shake opinion that Chris Benoit mentioned earlier, and I'm sure you'll hear about later. The case is BC versus Steak and Shake Operations, 512 Southwest 3rd, 276, from the Texas Supreme Court, 2017. And let me give you my sort of rule of this case. The court in Steak and Shake held that where the gravamen, and you can define that term however you'd like, of a plaintiff's claim is not harassment but rather assault, the TCHRA does not preempt the plaintiff's common law assault claim. So putting that another way, where the gravamen of a plaintiff's claim is assault, TCHRA doesn't foreclose the assault claim, even when it's predicated on the same facts that would presumably constitute a sexual harassment claim under the TCHRA. What am I talking about? What does this mean? Well, courts across Texas are just now beginning to apply this rule and define its contours. And I think the major case that you'd look at would be the Solis versus SVC Chipotle statutory rape case that Chris mentioned earlier, 566 Southwest 3rd, 82 out of Houston, 2018. That case discussed Steak and Shake and applied the rule from Steak and Shake very narrowly, in my opinion. But the breadth of the rule across Texas is not yet to be defined. So what does that mean? The Solis ruling came out in the ancient times before the 2018 election, before the Texas appellate courts changed their composure. And outside of Houston, certainly, it's not precedential, and the avenue is wide open for how broadly to interpret this rule. I would hazard a guess that appellate judges want to tell you their opinion and what they think about sexual assault claims liability for employers in 2019, but certainly someone in this room is going to prove me right or wrong within the next year or so on that. So that's a space to watch. Uncapped damages, potential way to get into the larger money in Texas. What about, here's another, and I want to get some audience participation on this. What about tort claims against small employers that don't meet the numerosity of Title VII or Chapter 1 of the Chapter 21 of the Texas Labor Code? So the preemption rule from Waffle House is, well, there's preemption because the statute applies. But what if the statute doesn't apply? The argument goes, if the statute doesn't apply on its own terms, it can't preempt the common law negligence claims. So it appears, and we've checked, that the issue is unresolved in Texas, but here's the audience participation. What brave soul among you is going to tell me I'm wrong and small employers are covered by Waffle House preemption? Seeing no one, we have proven as a room that they may not be. So watch out, for defense counsel, watch out if you're if you're defending like sort of micro employers, those with under 15 employees and 20 or more calendar weeks this year or last year, they may conversely be on the hook for bigger damages, uncapped damages, compared to the bigger employers. I don't think that's really been tested in Texas, so watch out. You've heard it here first. Watch out specifically for your small employers that are doing really well. Obviously, I come from Austin, Texas, where you can have a 10-person employer making $20 million. That's not at all uncommon. So watch out for that. One other place that you can get around Waffle House is getting out of Texas using other states. So depending on the facts surrounding harassment, it's possible another state's law might apply. New York and California have statutes with potentially long reach in other states too, do as well. So watch out for that. Two more ways. Non-employee victims is another way. So finally, employers may be liable for negligence claims, uncapped claims with respect to patrons, customers, users, etc. And there's a very recent case out of Dallas that I'll draw your attention to. It's Doe versus the JCC of Dallas, where the plaintiff alleged negligence and negligent undertaking claims against a fitness club, the JCC in Dallas. And the brief allegations were that a 24-year-old male janitor employee was harassing employees, other employees, but also members, and began grooming a 14-year-old member. And lo and behold, he ultimately sexually assaulted, allegedly, this member. The mother was complaining throughout this process, and the fitness club executive allegedly told the mother that it takes two to tango, and that made it, of course, into the complaint. So that's a place where negligence allegations, which may be uncapped, can live.